Steve and I signed up. I've served on some search committees in the last few years.
We can start now. Okay, we officially started. Go ahead, Steve.
In interviewing priests, they almost all of us are in some sort of spiritual direction, and I found these were really interesting people. So I thought I'd get a taste of what they had found in enhancing their own religious life.
Great. Okay, I'm officially started now. This is Al Rail, spiritual director. The foolishness of spiritual direction. One of the reasons why I call it the foolishness of spiritual direction is because I work as a chaplain in a nursing home assisted living. And if there ever was a foolish place to work to try to make sure that people know and understand what you're saying, and it's a nursing home. Because you have no idea what they learn or what they hear or how they perceive you. Well, maybe how they perceive you, but it's been a wonderful learning experience for me to be there amongst those people and the faith that they still have with all their challenges. I wanted to cover three things that it's in this session. First of all, to describe what a one-on-one situation is here at Fulton. If you come up and talk to me, what it involves and what I've experienced with people. I'm here basically to educate people about what it is, and the best way that I can educate you is to have you come and ask your questions directly one-on-one, because people all have different questions, they have different lives they're coming from. Some of the reasons they do come for spiritual direction are an issue. They have an issue they'd like to discuss with me. It may be some difficulty in communicating with a spouse. It may be a difficulty of praying. It may be a difficulty with their community, their church community. Secondly, they just are curious about spiritual direction. They don't know what it is, what it feels like, because it is more something that you find out by experiencing it than by me talking about it. And you're going to experience some of that today. How to pray. How does a person pray? I've been praying this way for years, and lately, you know, I fall asleep when I do it. I can't do it anymore this way. Or the difference between praying a corporate prayer like the Lord's Prayer and just a spontaneous prayer. Anne Lamott would say that prayer is two words, thanks and help. Those are her ways of praying. But to find out a way that works, there are many different ways. Some people pray while they walk. Up here, they get a lot of insights. Everything kind of comes to them. Some people meditate. Some people take scripture and read it over and over again so that it sinks in. There's a number of ways. Another reason they come is they don't know where they're going after Holden. And or they're in a new mode. They're in retirement mode or something like that. And they don't know what they're going to do with their life or what they would really like to do with their gifts. I have a lot of people that come up for that. What is it like for spiritual direction? This is a simple thing. One listens. That's the spiritual director. The real spiritual director, of course, is God. There's no advice given unless it's asked for. Sometimes, as knowing what I do know, I will give a particular resource to a person. I will reflect back to them what I'm hearing in their life and what the need that I perceive could be. And let's see here. To find where God is or where God is leading. is another thing. Where is God? I haven't a clue. Where is God leading? I just don't know. That's another reason to come together. And at this point, I want you to just take a few minutes. This is going to be going to one another here. And take a few minutes to be directors to one another. Because, you know, it doesn't take a lot to be a director. It takes a lot of years to be a good spiritual director who actually practices it with, like I do. But you can do it right here. And I would like you to just form maybe a person that you don't know, if it would be possible, and just answer this question. Where has God been? And where has God been, present or absent, in the past month in your life, most often? In other words, somebody would say, I'll answer that question, and the other person listens, and they can ask more questions, and then it goes back to the other person. I'll give you only about a couple minutes to do this, and then we'll debrief, okay? And when you hear the guitar, we're coming back together again. And I could do it. No, I won't do it with somebody. Question is, again, where has God been present or absent in the past month profoundly in your life? One person says that, the other person listens and can ask questions. They want more clarity. When they're done, next person. Okay? That clear? All right, go ahead. Go.
Go.
Yeah, but you have to go next
I think that's right.
How are you doing? Did you change to the other person yet? If you didn't, do that, please.
Let's get back and debrief a little bit here. Anybody care to share what went on with your group, your little pair? Was it a good question?
Yeah, it's a hard question.
Hard question.
Yeah,
should be. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have something that I can share. I think we found out that the where God, or where we're struggling to find God, is in the same place. And
yeah.
So we have a commonality here that it's quite interesting.
Oh yeah. So there's something that happened between you, commonality.
Yes.
There was with Warren here too. You find that other people are finding evidence, at least, of God, you know, in a similar way that you do. And the interesting thing about the director's side of the story is we, as directors, can share a little, we can share a little bit about our life, but we're trained not to. And if we got all kinds of things to say, we share it with our supervisor, because that's our issue. And then they listen to us, and then we're able to process what that issue of that other person had told to us, so that we're able to listen completely to them, that we are available to them. This is the thing that struck me so much about spiritual direction that caught me, because it was so powerful that somebody was listening to every word. Every word. I've never, ever in my life, ever been listened to that well. So I thought, there's something holy about this. So, okay. The second second, I'm getting all this stuff. Let me read a definition here of spiritual direction by Eugene Peterson, who is a Presbyterian. It's from a book called Holy Invitations, Exploring Spiritual Direction. I think it's still in the books there. I'm not sure. But Eugene Peterson says, spiritual direction takes place when two people agree to give their full attention to what God is doing in one or both of their lives and seek to respond in faith. Whether planned or unplanned, three convictions underpin these meetings. One, God is always doing something. An active grace is shaping this life into a mature salvation. Two, responding to God is not sheer guesswork. The Christian community has acquired wisdom through the centuries that provides guidance. And lastly, three, each soul is unique. No wisdom can simply be applied without discerning the particulars of this life and this situation. One of the better, I think, definitions. So before anything else, what I usually do is I will listen to person's life before I can make a response. And there's a lot of questions up here to ask about their life, which makes a big difference in how God, I think, is working, or they're blocking God in some way. So, I've got a parables of peanuts here. It's a foolishness of God also. The first one is about busyness. You know how busy we are these days, and this shows Charlie Brown walking behind Lucy. Lucy says, I'm thinking of starting some new hobbies. Charlie Brown says, that's a good idea, Lucy. The people who get most out of life are those who really try to accomplish something. Lucy looks at Charlie Brown and says, accomplish something. And then she turns around and walks away. I thought we were just supposed to keep busy. You know, I mean, it's true, isn't it? The kind of life that we live is, it's so hard to. The other thing is how much sometimes TV and advertising has a hold on us too. Another cartoon in here shows Linus watching TV. And this one probably be easier for you to imagine. Linus says, "Speak up." Tell him, refute his arguments, show him where he's wrong, use quotations from rather Olson and Linus now, use sarcasm, that's it, now you've got him, use more sarcasm, that's the way, now you really got him. He shows him flat on his back, he says, whew. These panel discussions on art wear me out.
Art.
So we, what happens when people have direction, decide that they want to invest in it wherever they are? What happens in that relationship? You find a director. In Seattle, we have an organization called the Ignatian Spirituality Center, and they take your name and they take all of the information about you, and they have about 50 people that they can pair with you, and then they send you to that person, and if you think that person is good for you to speak and you feel comfortable with them, then you continue on. And you usually meet every month, And my particular spiritual director that I've been meeting for 14 years, which is quite a relationship. Every now and then I think, well, maybe I should try a new person. And then I say, no, she knows me pretty well, you know, and I don't. But anyways, it's usually a monthly meeting. And sometimes if you're looking in a particular town, Catholic Church, Episcopal Church are good places to check out where there would be a spiritual director to meet with you once a month. And if it doesn't work out, what an untold rule in spiritual direction is that you just can say, this isn't really working out, and I need to find somebody new. And most in spiritual directors with integrity would say, you know, that's great. I hope you find somebody that you can speak to and you can be honest with. There's also, how many people are from Seattle here? Quite a few. What are the other places?
Puyallup.
Puyallup, close.
Vancouver.
Where?
Vancouver.
Vancouver.
Portland.
Portland.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Okay. That's Sheboygan, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Iowa.
Iowa. Okay.
Clinton.
Okay, you'll probably have to seek out the people there. There's also an organization called Spiritual Directors International that has, all over the world, it has people that are directors in all faith journey denominations, and you can access them on the web, too, by SDI.com. In Seattle, we have two events in the coming year that I think are really wonderful because they develop this relationship of you and prayer to where you can feel that God is working and you have something to really talk about with your spiritual director, because the main focus with a spiritual director is prayer, is what your prayer is about. It can be dry, it can be exciting, it can be peaceful, you know, a lot of something can come up during the prayer, but that's what spiritual directors are about. Spiritual directors are not counselors, although it seems like a lot of our behaviors and things tend to be related to the spiritual, but we're not counselors, and a lot of times a person going through counseling and spiritual direction is a very good pair. It really can help that person by doing both. The one program in Seattle is called the Spiritual Exercises in Everyday Life. And we start out by having people commit to an hour a day of prayer for 9 months. That's their commitment. They write that up and they say they're ready for that commitment. They want to stop just having everything go one thing after another, and they want to pray. So they get a director every 2 weeks during that 9-month period. So every 2 weeks they can go in and talk to the spiritual director. And every month they come on a Saturday morning for a whole morning of retreat, which is testimony and ritual, small group, and about 45 minutes of silence. So it's quite a great program. And again, that one, if you Google SEAL, S-E-E-L, Puget Sound, you'll get the website of that program if you're interested. The other organization called the Ignatian Spirituality Center, which I'm involved with, in January 2009, we'll start a 16-week kind of condensed version of that long retreat. 16 weeks. It does not have a director, but it does have a small group that meets every week. And that small group shares about their commitment to prayer, which is 20 minutes. So they pare it down a little bit. So if you're not quite ready for the long retreat, you can do the short one. And I only mention those just because those two I'm involved with. And there's other spiritual direction centers. There's one in Lacey, There's one down in Mount Angel in Oregon, other places too. But then what does it look like when a person is meeting with a person for a while and they're developing a relationship of spiritual director and the person who comes? And what I need is, again, is two people that would like to do a little role play. People that would, the director part is very short, and the other person is a little bit longer. The situation is, a wife coming to the director, having trouble with the relationship with her husband, with her involvement with spiritual direction. That's basically it. And to go through that, we can go through that and you can see what happens. I thought that might be helpful. So any volunteers for that? Just reading and pass the book back and forth.
Just reading.
Yeah, it's a reading. Yeah, right. Liz, good. Do we have a spiritual director? It's very easy. Steve, hey, thank you. Director, direct you. Oh, this would be great. Should I turn on the lights? Just need to turn off this stuff.
The beacon. Actually, I think you can just put the cover over it.
Can you? I think it's... There we go.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so I'm the directee.
Directee.
Okay. I know that I know that I know that I know.
That sounds like you're pretty sure.
I guess that would sound rather arrogant if I didn't say more, but this is all new to me and I'm quite taken by it. Grateful. I don't know if you can understand when I say it's not my knowing.
Could you say more about that?
I can try. It's knowing, which feels like pure gift. I did not struggle for it. I was not asking any question of which I was aware. I was just hanging out with God, being grateful, but mostly quiet, just offering myself to God and inviting God to be with me. Deep inside, something began welling up, a kind of assuring presence, and then a kind of clarity that felt alive. It was unencumbered by my usual scatteredness. The best description I can manage is to say it was a knowing that was given. It felt like it was filled with grace.
Was the knowing about anything?
Not really. More than anything, I think it showed me, God showed me, that I have the capacity to know in this way.
What did that mean to you?
Good question. Maybe it set a kind of standard. If this appears again, I'd probably think that it was the Holy Spirit and try to pay attention. I suppose there are counterfeits. Maybe I could rationalize or manufacture a similar experience. Putting any knowing next to what happens here seems like it would be helpful. It was way beyond intellect. No, it wasn't against intellect. It just wasn't about intellect, at least not human intellect, in the way I see it functioning in myself and others. It was a kind of total knowing. I guess that means it includes intellect, but it's not limited by the human mind. Then there's like a narrative. Is that how?
Okay,
how
that's
far
good. That's good.
Okay.
Thank you. It wasn't about the one I thought, but maybe that's the one we're supposed to hear. I think that's better, actually. The little blurb says, spiritual direction gives people an opportunity to reflect on what they perceive and experience as experiences with God. It is good to have a place to talk about such experiences and ask pointed questions. Why did you think it was God? Or is this the God you read about in Scripture? So that's just kind of a little scenario of what can happen with a long-term relationship. You notice how the directee would be very specific in a sense of describing the feeling or the not knowing or, you know, really struggling with that. And a lot of what we perceive about God doesn't have a lot of good words. Really doesn't. You know, we're not quite sure about this God. The other thing I ask people a lot is, what is your image of God? What is your image of God? And think about that. Some people have one person once told me, I don't have any image, not a person. My image sometimes reflects an image of Christ like an icon or like a smiling face that my friend Richard Kemmer painted. But oftentimes I don't have a good picture of God either. It's just a sense of talking to God. So there's those kinds of things too that happen about. But what so oftentimes you run into, I've been seeing somebody for about eight times now, and the thing that comes up with him is a judgmental God. A judgmental God. And he can't get away from that. So it's kind of a perfectionist kind of an attitude that he has. And that's his image of God. And it's a person that reads Scripture. And what I do is I listen. And I pray for him. And as I can sense that God has led us together to talk about certain things that. And yet we are, you know, my image of God is a very loving, grace-filled God, as Eric talked last night. The mercy of God is big. It can turn the wrath of God or the violence that happened on its head. But that's me. Yeah, that's not this person. So. A lot of times people can be turned around to really see the love of God. The first movement that is in the retreat that we have is a loved sinner, that we can be loved by God and yet know that on the one hand we fall short. The reading last night that struck me, that we are imprisoned to disobedience, the Romans text. That really hit me, that we are all imprisoned to disobedience. And sometimes, I'm going to get to the last way of directing too with you, but I want to read just a little bit. Oftentimes, what the book that we're reading or whatever catches our attention is something that God is trying to get our attention. And many of you have seen this book on the shelf of libraries, bookstores, it's Oprah's big thing online. It's called A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. And I was reading it, and there's some real gems in here about what I'm trying to express. And one of these is, Eckhart Tolle says that we all have egos. And the ego is the one thing that gravitates toward a role in our life. That we are nothing unless we have a role in our life. That's what the ego tries to tell us to believe. And, of course, we look at other people as their role. And if they don't meet up to our expectation, we are angry or upset and we go to war. It's like the Charlie Brown cartoon of the snowman. One kid says, I put the snowman together. And the other person says, but it's my yard. And the third one said, but I finished it and I put on the eyes and the nose. And pretty soon you see these, the kids are just scruffing and they're throwing each other around and everything. And the last picture shows them taking each one of the pieces of the snowman and walking away, you know, in anger. So this is the kind of thing that he gets at. I underlined a couple of these things that he said. I thought I wanted to share with you a little bit here. The extent of the ego's inability to recognize itself and see what it is doing is staggering and unbelievable. It will do exactly what it condemns others for and not see it. When it is pointed out, it will use angry denial, clever arguments, and self-justification to distort the facts. People do it. Corporations do it. Governments do it. When all else fails, the ego will resort to shouting or even physical violence. Send in the Marines. We can now understand the deep wisdom in Jesus' words on the cross. Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. To end the misery that has afflicted the human condition for thousands of years, you have to start with yourself and take responsibility for your inner state at any given moment. That means now, ask yourself, is there negativity in me at this moment? Then, become alert, attentive to your thoughts as well as your emotions. Watch out for the low-level unhappiness in whatever form that I mentioned earlier, such as discontent, nervousness, being fed up, and so on. Watch out for thoughts that appear to justify or explain this unhappiness, but in reality cause it. I'll read that again. Watch out for thoughts that appear to justify or explain this unhappiness, but in reality cause it. The moment you become aware of a negative state within yourself, it does not mean you have failed. It means that you have succeeded. Until that awareness happens, there is identification with inner states, and such identification is ego. With awareness comes disidentification from thoughts, emotions, and reactions. This is not to be confused with denial. The thoughts, emotions, or reactions are recognized, and in the moment of recognizing, disidentification happens automatically. Your sense of self, of who you are, then undergoes a shift. Before, you were the thoughts, emotions, and reactions. Now, you are the awareness, the conscious presence that witnesses those states. That is what Eckhart Tolle talks about. And I think that he comes from a Catholic background. He has a little bit of Zen Buddhism in his presentation. But he, I think, understands the human condition very well. And the last thing I want you to do, if you listen to it, hopefully you have, is to find out a little bit about group spiritual direction. And I'll do it with you again. This is interaction. Three people, you can share what you heard me say. You can respond to it, react to it, point out what you liked. Everybody else listens. If they want to ask a question to clarify, they can do it. But then once you're done, the next person shares about the same reading. Does that make sense? And that is group spiritual direction. There's no leader, and yet there is that sharing. And we'll gather for about, again, maybe 8 minutes, and then I'm going to open it up for questions for the last part of the group. So find another couple people, and maybe we can work this out without me. But let me share also a little bit of what drew me to this is that our emotions are only, and our reactions to things are only a part of us. They're not the whole thing. And many times, what's so redeeming about this for me is that I'm more than my emotions and my reactivity. And that there is a being that God has created with many gifts that really is powerful through Eckhart Tolle that I'm grabbing a hold of. Okay, that's mine.
Okay.
Everybody have a group, small group? And hopefully we can hear from everybody in the group. If you don't want to share, you can do that.
Yeah, we do.
I'm Jim, by the way. Warren. Vic. That was one of the beauties. Beginning part I was not into, I lost from near the end. I've read another book by Eckhart Tolle, and I think he's onto something. What excites me is the notion of my ego gets attached to things. Ego has to identify with an idea or with a position, and then we can fight with other people. And if somebody comes along and challenges us, then we're in a good fight. We like a good fight. But if we can choose to not identify with position, theology, or way of parenting, just to be more kind of, for me, it's a posture of being open to say, I'm going to suspend judgment. And maybe this is not what Eckhart Tolle is saying. For me, it's a definition of contemplation that I heard is a non-judgmental. One definition is moment by moment to moment, non-judgmental awareness. And the non-judgmental part of the ego wants to do is judge. There's certainly time and place to judge. Right? Judge if something's bad or just surface appearance. And I identify with my own way of looking at things. Like, God's word, it's not helpful, right? That's what I got. It's something I need to keep practicing.
Some popular people.
Is it possible that we're judging, or some of our judging is helpful? Yeah. Or is that necessary? We judge things because of what we do all day long, we end up judging other things. Could you connect with anything?
No.
If you're not on the second person, kind of wrap up that first person and go to the second at this point, even though you're not them.
Is you on the one? From what I'm doing, being aware of what you're feeling, being aware of everything. What I got.
What's going on? Where are we really going? very difficult to do. And even when I'm aware of it, our leaders do so. I'm aware of that feeling. It's just being aware of the feeling. It's not enough to control. I'll tell somebody. I yell back at them, and they'll say,
"That's a good question."
Okay, I hear you.
I read a book that I thought was powerful called "Loving What Is." The point of the book was, if something isn't right in your life, we make a judgment, say that shouldn't be like that. Well, it is.
Like everybody
has. Say you have, say you have a child who has a temper. Whether or not they got it from your role modeling or not, you say it shouldn't be like that. So until you love it the way it is, you can't change it. And it doesn't work. You can try to change it. You have to start with just accepting reality. Then you can change it. As opposed to just going in there and saying, shit all the time. I mean, I'm shitting all the time. Try not to use the word should have. That's what I mean by non-judgment. Because I can say, bowling alley should be in better condition. And if I don't accept the way it is, then I'm going to be at odds with it, and that is a problem that makes me angry for no reason at all. I may never come back here, who cares? It's been like that for 50 years. Nothing to do with me, but I can get involved and it shouldn't be. We get mad, and somebody should fix that.
Well, that's a natural thing. I want to see
somebody off. So are you
going to go on and get this to be the grids? No. If you misbehaves, and you're right, or you see something up, what is it going to change? The question to me is what's going to be affecting inside.
When to intervene and when not.
That's a spiritual eye.
The judgment. There's no ready. I don't know. I mean,
is there a right answer?
The serenity prayer. Give me the serenity to accept that occurs to change the wisdom.
That just
didn't work.
You might have in the last couple of minutes here, and then we'll officially end. And if you want to stay around for a few questions, but I do have a 4:15. So.
What's the session about?
Steve,
I just signed up for a one-on-one.
This has been really good, and this may sound like a crass question, but I have to ask it. The spiritual directors charge fees, and how does it? Good question. Yeah. I have given spiritual direction for no cost. I have charged people anywhere from $30 to $50 a session. Yeah. And when I work with the actual retreat, people pay into the organization, and then I get a check at the end of the time, and it's probably maybe $25 a session. It comes out to that. And then I also work on the retreat days, so it's a the whole endeavor, it's a different endeavor. So, and some people charge more, you know, and it's a way of living for some people. That's the only thing they do. So obviously it is worth it. I feel honored to be paid, and yet when I come up here, it's really an honor to do it for nothing, and it frees me up. But when you have two kids in college, in private school, that are twins at the same time, it always helps a little bit to have a little bit of. But I would probably do it for nothing too. I mean, it's just so. It is a life-giving experience. I hope that when you got together today, just to talk a little bit, that it brought your spirits up, because that's really what spiritual direction did for me. And since it did it for me, I figured, why can't I do that for other people? And I was dedicated to go and do it. And it's that kind of, it's not for everybody, certainly, but it is. More questions? It's a long answer. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, yeah.
How do people sign up for spiritual direction here?
There's a, on the kiosk, there's my name and bio, and then below it there's a sign up sheet.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can hold with that.
And I'll be here this week and next week. So, and on Wednesday, if you're still around, I can't cover all of this stuff in one session, so, and it'd be endless. But on Wednesday, I'm just going to take the Lord's Prayer and the High Priestly Prayer of Jesus, and we're going to look at that as a way of practicing, a way of prayer. So I hope that you can make, that'll be a little different, and probably less information, but more experiencing a prayer that's so familiar that it gets lost, you know, it gets lost. It doesn't for me at the home, because, boy, people love that prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And whenever I pray it, I say, it's everything you need right here. You know, don't have to think about it. So, yeah.
You said website, SDI.com. Is that where you can locate spiritual directors in various parts
right.
of the country?
Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah, Spiritual Directors International. And they have a conference every year, a big, huge conference. It's a very ecumenical, interfaith organization. So if you're more interested in that. And I'll be talking more in my other session about Ignatius. That's something I didn't even talk about today. I should have. It's 4 o'clock, so.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Any other questions? I'll be around for another, you know, 5 minutes, but it's officially over now.